Well, it is the beginning of a new year, and it is a great time just to say yes to God. When you say yes to God, well, you better mean it. There's no, well, I had my fingers crossed. I mean, when you say yes to God, I want to tell you that Jesus says we're going to give an account for the things that we've said. We're going to be judged. We're going to be justified or condemned by the words of our mouth. Jesus said, Matthew 5:37, let your yes be yes and your no, no. For whatever is more than these is from the evil one. You know, in that day and time, even the very religious would use all kinds of oaths and vows and swears. And you know what? It's kind of strange in our day and time. Sometimes people have different levels of the truth, I guess, or a percentage of the truth that they're going to tell. You know, if they really mean it, they say, oh, well, I give you my word. And if that's not quite enough, I promise. And you need even more. Well, I swear. Of course, they tell us that swearing seems to be more of an admission that they're not telling you the truth nowadays. But here's what we know. Jesus said anything more than just yes or no is from the evil one. We got to let our yes be yes and our no be no. Let your yes be yes, your no be no. When you say yes, there can't be any of this wishy-washy sort of kind of when it's convenient kind of a thing. No, when we say yes to God, we got to mean it. And when you say yes to God, you're going to have to say no to some other things. Let your yes be yes, your no be no. Yes and no are very powerful boundary words. They are powerful words that give us the ability to choose the life that we want to live. Now, don't misunderstand what I'm saying. All of us have things that happen to us. Boy, we all learned that this year. All of us have things that happen to us that we didn't plan. Things that are beyond our control. But so much of our life and where we are in life and what's going on in our life is a result of the things that we've said yes to and the things that we've said no to. When we make a conscious choice to say yes or to say no, then we're choosing where our life is going. See, you can live by default where you just kind of let life happen to you. Just whatever happens. And we don't really make decisions and just kind of take it as it comes. Or we can live by design that with God's help, we say yes to the right things and no to the wrong things and we pursue after all that God has for us. The best life is when we say yes to God. We say yes to the blessings of God, yes to the will of God, yes to the plan of God. His plans are good. We say yes to the purpose of God in our life. But unless we are willing to say no to some things, it won't be very long until we're backing up on that yes. You know, a lot of people start off their new year making all kinds of commitments. We call them resolutions. And oh, how shaky they are. Most of them don't even last 2 weeks. And the reason they no longer say yes to that resolution they made is because they didn't say no to something. But I'm just telling you this morning that there's such power in the simple little word, no. Say yes to God. But you need to understand how much you need this powerful little word, no. You know, we learn to love that word very early on in life. At one time, all of us loved the word no. I mean, anybody that's ever had a two-year-old, you know what I'm talking about. Somewhere around 2 years old, we begin to assert our will with that word. I guess partially because it's easy to say and it's short and they probably hear it a lot, right? But You say, eat your peas, and they say, no. You say, let me fix your hair, and they say, no. And you say, share with your sister, no. It's time for you to take a nap, no. They're asserting their little will with this powerful word, no. And sometimes, you know, two-year-olds, they get on a roll where they're just saying no to everything. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Do you want some spaghetti? No. Do you want some milk? No. Do you want some ice cream? No. And then you see this confused look come over their face as they realize what they just said. But eventually, we learn that it's a lot more fun, actually, to say yes. And as we grow up, we realize that people like us better when we say yes. It's more fun to say yes. We learn to say yes to all kinds of things. I mean, saying yes is how you go out and you grab hold of life. You don't do that by saying no. You got to say yes to some things. We want to live life to the fullest. And so we say yes and yes and yes. But we find ourselves overextended and overwhelmed. We're just busy all the time. Anybody busy? Because if you're not busy, I want to talk to you, because I haven't talked to anybody that didn't tell me they were busy in a long time. We all get so busy, so overextended, running ourselves ragged, burning the candle at both ends. We come to the end of our rope. We know these phrases, right? They're all talking about the same thing. We've said yes to too many things. Yes, we overeat. Yes, we find ourselves spending too much. Yes, we find ourselves with no time left. See, no is not very popular with the adult crowd. With the two-year-old crowd, no is really popular. But with the adult crowd, yes is popular. If you wear a sweatshirt with just a big no on the front of it, you're probably going to get some questions. But if you wear a big sweatshirt with a big yes on the front of it, you're going to get all kinds of attention. I'm just saying. Yes is just a lot more fun. Nobody wants to be around somebody that says no all the time. That person is a dud. We like to be around the person that says yes. Hey, you want to go do this? We're going to have a lot of fun. It's going to be wild, crazy, and dangerous, but yes. And so we shirk that little word, no, when it is a word that helps us be able to say yes to God and the things that are really important. You know, when you're predisposed to say yes, people say, oh, they're so approachable. They're understanding and kind. And when you say no, people say, they're unapproachable. They don't listen. They don't care. It's just a whole lot more fun to say yes. We all like to be liked. So we say yes. You want to be popular? Say yes all the time. It'll wreck your life. But you'll be popular in the process. Sooner or later, you run out of yes. You can only say yes to so many things. And you're going to have to say no. You're going to have to say no to some things, to some people, and to some desires. If you say yes too much, your life's going to end up in a place where you never really intended for it to be. But we end up somewhere in life because of the choices that we've made. Things that we've said yes to, and things that we've said no to. So if there's an area of your life that seems kind of out of whack, I want you to know this morning, I got some good news for you. You can change it. With this simple word, no, you can bring it back into control. You find yourself overextended financially? No is the little word, powerful little word, that can help you get to a place of financial freedom. You know, I think there's a kind of a high that a lot of people get from buying things. It just feels good. They call it retail therapy. But it's not therapy. It's an addiction. And a lot of us have it. I mean, you know, some of us might not want to own it, but most of us, there's a good feeling we get, whether it's a new cell phone or some new clothes or a new bass boat. It's kind of a high that goes with it. But here's the problem with that. If you want financial freedom in your life, you're going to have to learn to say no to some things. Right. Now, there's also a yes. You know, there's things that you have to say yes to have financial freedom in your life. And you could work overtime, and you could say yes to a second job and working yourself to death. You can say yes to that. But here's the problem with that. You make more money. Did you know that the vast majority of people, almost no one, when they make more money, saves money? They just spend more. Why? Because they're not using this powerful little word, no. One husband and wife got together. They decided they wanted to get free financially. They wanted to reduce their debt. And so they had a long talk about it. The wife just loved to shop. It just made her feel good to get a new dress. And so the husband told her lovingly, he said, "You're going to have to resist temptation. If we're ever going to get out of this hole, you got to resist temptation." He said, "Just do like Jesus did. When that temptation comes, just say, 'Get thee behind me, Satan.'" She said, "I can do that. I can do that. That's what I'm going to do. I'm going to resist temptation." Well, it wasn't just a couple of weeks later. Her husband sees her wearing this expensive dress. And he was kind of upset, but he says to her, he says, "I thought we decided we were not going to be buying a lot of new things right now. We're trying to get out of debt." She said, I know. I saw this dress. It was so pretty. I just had to try it on. So I went in the dressing room, and I put it on, and I heard this little voice that said, "That looks great on you. You should buy it." He said, "Well, why didn't you just do what we talked about and say, 'Get thee behind me, Satan?'" She said, "I did. And then I heard the little voice say, 'It looks even better from back here.'" Financial freedom comes from this little word, no. We all have so much to do. But even in a year, in a time like 2020, when a lot of us had some extra time that was forced upon us, it's amazing how we found a way to say yes to all kinds of time wasters. You see, if we want to say yes to the things of God, we've got to be willing to say no to some things. When we say yes to staying up late and watching TV, it's hard to say yes to getting up early to have time in the Word and prayer. Or you're sleeping through it. "Well, I tried to do that, but I was just falling asleep." You're going to have to say no to some things if you're going to do that. You see, if we say yes to working overtime every weekend, it's going to be hard to say yes to going to church faithfully. If we say yes to everything that comes along that we want to buy, it was a good deal. That one gets some of us. It was a good deal. We say yes to everything that comes. Not going to have anything left to give to God. You see, it doesn't matter what area of life you're talking about. There are things that we have to be willing to say no to. It kind of goes like this. You know, parents, nowadays everybody wants to be a great parent. Any parents want to be a bad parent? No, every parent wants to be a good parent. And so good parent, you know the routine. You gotta sign your kids up. You gotta say yes, 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 because you know you want to be the cool parent, the popular parent. And so yes to baseball, and yes to volleyball, and yes to dance, and yes to gymnastics, and yes to football, and yes to whatever else comes up. And wait a minute, church. Well, we just really don't have room for much of that now. Y'all are quiet on me. You know, I don't like it that the city has baseball games on Sunday morning. I don't like it that the schools are doing more activities on Wednesday nights and Sundays. But what really bothers me is that Christian parents get on board with it. There's a time to just say no. My kids are going to say yes to the things of God. Because I got to tell you, your kid might learn some character playing sports. Although, if you look at professional athletes as a whole, that's pretty questionable, right? But sports never saved anybody. Jesus is the only one that can really change somebody's life and make us what we ought to be. I'm just telling you, you got to be willing to say no to some things in order to say yes to God. It's easy to just say, oh yeah, I'm a Christian, I'm a believer, I'm saying yes to God. But if we're not willing to say no to some things, it's yes but. Let your yes be yes. And I challenge you today to say yes to God. You know, the Lord just won't force His way in your life. It's up to us to say no to other things so that we can say yes to God and all that He has for us. Jesus said yes to the Father and all He had for Him. The Bible tells us that the Spirit led Jesus into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. His yes to God was real. Because everything that the devil threw at Him, every temptation, every desire that He tried to appeal to in Jesus, Jesus said no. He said, it is written. He refused to give the devil an inch because His yes to His Father was real. He said, I do always those things which please Him. And you know what? We need to follow the example of the Lord Jesus and realize that our yes to God is more important than whatever temptation might come our way. See, Satan offered Him the desires of the flesh. He said no. Satan offered Him an easier path. He said no. He offered Him fame and glory. He said no. Because He couldn't do what the Father wanted Him to do if He said yes to those things. Each time that He said no to those things, He was saying yes to the Father's plan. And that's the way it is for us. You see, we need to frame it that way in our thinking. We're not just saying no to something. We're saying yes to God when we say no to those things. We're choosing to stick with our commitment and our love for God. Yes, Father. Yes, God. You come first. Three young men in captivity in Babylon. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They were three young men who had chosen to say yes to God. And whenever you say yes to God, whenever you make a real commitment and you say yes to God, I got to tell you, there's going to be a time when you're going to be tempted. You're going to be tested. Now, for these three young men, that testing came when Nebuchadnezzar, the king, had a golden image set up. And he declared that when the music played, everyone would bow down to that golden image. But Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego refused to bow. Now think about this. Everybody else did. Everybody else did. Can you imagine what that must have been like for these three young men? Everybody else, they bowed down. You talk about some peer pressure. These guys didn't care what everybody else was doing. They didn't care about pleasing the crowd. They weren't saying yes to people. They were saying yes to God. And sometimes you're going to have to go against the grain. Sometimes you're going to have to say no to peer pressure. You're going to have to say no to the popular thing. You're going to have to be willing to be different to say yes to God. The king was so angry, he told them he's going to have them thrown into the fiery furnace. And they said, our God is able to deliver us, but even if He doesn't, we will not bow. In Daniel 3 and 18, they said, if not, even if He doesn't, if not, let it be known to you, O king, that we do not serve your gods nor worship the golden image which you have set up. I'm telling you, these guys had a lot of courage to be able to say no. And that's what we need. We need courage. We need faith to be able to say no, that we trust our God, that He'll bring us out on the other side in victory. We just got through singing about victory, didn't we? I'm just telling you, we're going to see a victory. When we stand for the Lord, when we keep our yes to God, and we're willing to say no to the influences, to the temptations of this world, to things that would try to move us off from where God wants us to be, I'm telling you, God's going to bring us victory if we'll just say no and keep our yes to Him. Another great example from the scripture is the man Joseph. Most of you know the story of how Joseph had some dreams as a young man, how God was going to raise him up to a position, a place of great authority. But Joseph's brothers hated him so much, mostly because he was their dad's favorite. And they sold him into slavery. Does it look like things are going that well for Joseph? And sometimes in our life, we believe that God has this great plan for us. He's given us vision, a dream. And yet it seems like it all just goes down the drain. That's how it was for Joseph. His brothers sell him into slavery. He's not being put into a position of authority. Instead, he's a slave. But he works for his master, Potiphar. And the Lord blesses him so much that Potiphar puts him over his whole house, over everything that he has. And the Bible tells us this about Joseph, that he was handsome, good-looking young man. And it wasn't long until Potiphar's wife began to make passes at him, and she would say, "Come lie with me, come lie with me." And again and again and again, Joseph refused her. Now think about this. I'm sure that he had some temptation. I'm sure that he had some thoughts cross his mind. Well, nobody has to know. Well, maybe this is just a job with benefits. And maybe there was also the temptation to think that he didn't want to rock the boat. This might be a way for him to have some real job security. I mean, he gets in good with the boss's wife. Everything's going to be good for a long time. But Joseph said, "No, I will not sin against God." Amen. You see, because of his yes to God, he refused to do what she said. He said no again and again and again until finally she falsely accused him. And Potiphar, his master, has him thrown into prison. That's not the promotion that he was looking for. But it was the path to the promotion that God had for him. Because God took him straight from the prison to the palace and put him in a high position over all of Egypt. Later, when his brothers came to him, he said the words we sang in a song this morning. He told his brothers, he said, "What you meant for evil, God meant for good." Isn't it amazing how that when we're willing to say no to the temptations, no to the distractions, that God works it all out for our good, that He brings us to a better place, a place of victory? One of the hardest things, I think, for a Christian to say no to is other people. We just, you know, we like to be agreeable. I mean, somebody's going to think you're unloving if you say no. I tell you, as a pastor, I get to say no way more than I want to. I want to say yes. But sometimes we have to say no to stick with the vision, the call, the purpose, the things that God has given us to do. We have to say no to some things. But all of us have this struggle, and I just want you to know that Jesus said no many, many, many times. I'm just going to give you a few examples this morning, but the Pharisees, they come to Jesus, they ask Him for a sign. Just give us a sign. Jesus said no. No sign is going to be given. No sign. Do you realize that Jesus could have done some awesome signs and wowed them and maybe got them on board? He said, no. No sign is going to be given to a wicked generation. No sign. Jesus' own mother and brothers come to a house where he's ministering inside, and it's crowded. There's no room for them to come in. And so they send word to Jesus. They said, tell Jesus to come out. We want to talk to him. We need to talk to him. And Jesus said, no. He said, my mother and brothers are these that hear and do the word of God. He said, no. A lot of the time, Jesus ended up saying no when James and John's mother comes to him and said, let my boy sit on your right hand and your left. He said, no, it's not mine to give. The people came and they wanted to make Jesus their earthly king. That sounds like a good thing. We'll make Jesus our king. They were under this Roman rule. And they saw Jesus as the Messiah, the one who could finally get them out of this bondage to Rome. They could finally defeat their enemies because Jesus, their Messiah, he would be their king. Jesus said no. Jesus said no when Simon Peter tried to stop him from going to the cross. That's where he said those words, get behind me, Satan. You know, Peter loved Jesus. He was willing to die for Jesus. When they came to take Jesus, he's got his sword out, he's whacks a guy's ear off. He was ready to go. He loved Jesus. And so when he confronts Jesus, he says, you're not doing this. This isn't never going to happen to you. He meant well. But Jesus says no, because he knows what the Father has for him, and he has already said yes to the Father's will. And I want you to understand that sometimes you're even going to have to say no to people who love you. And they will come to you in such care and concern. I know what I'm talking about. They'll tell you, you shouldn't have to do that. There's got to be an easier way. Why should you be the one to go to Africa? You're going to miss out on so much if you do that. They mean well. They love you. Why, if you commit to work in the children's ministry, you're going to have to get up and go to church every Sunday. Don't you just want to sleep in sometimes? I mean, you got to say no if you're going to obey God. Yes to God and no to people. It's better, it's more fun when you get to say yes, but you just have to understand there's going to be times when you got to say no. Mark chapter 1 tells a story about how Jesus was healing people, delivering people, casting out demons. All these wonderful miracles were happening. And when it was over, the Bible tells us the next morning that Jesus went out to a solitary place, a place all by himself, just to be alone. There's all these people that he ministered to and more that are coming, but he's out in a place all by himself. And the disciples find him finally, and they say, Lord, everybody's been looking for you. They want him to come back. They're not done with him. But Jesus, in effect, says no. Here's what he says in verse 37 of Mark chapter 1. It says, when they found him, they said to him, everyone's looking for you. In verse 38, but he said to them, let us go into the next towns that I may preach there also, because for this purpose I have come forth. He said, no, I can't, because I got to go to the next town. And I'm going to tell you, if you're going to obey God, there's going to be times when you're going to have to disappoint some people, because you're not in it to please the crowd. You're in it to please the Father. And you say yes to God. I want you to say yes to God this morning. I just want you to realize, let's have enough of this phoniness. We're 2 weeks, 3 weeks, 6 months down the road. We've broken our commitments to God. Let's say no to the things that keep us from continuing to say yes to God. One of the great stories in the scripture is the story of Nehemiah rebuilding the walls of Jerusalem. He was rebuilding the city. He was restoring the city and restoring God's people. They lived in constant distress and trouble as a city without walls. And so Nehemiah, heartbroken, goes there with this vision to rebuild the walls of the city. God had put this on his heart. And he prayed about it and prayed about it. And God gave him the things that he needed to get the job done. And so he goes there to the city. And you know, at some point, it just kind of got political. Because there were these who had been leaders. They want to undermine him. They want to stop him. They want to do him harm. They had their own financial interest in keeping things the way they were. And so they asked for Nehemiah to come out to talk to them. 4 times they sent word to Nehemiah and asked him to come out. And he said this. It's Nehemiah 6, 3 and 4. He says, I'm doing a great work so that I cannot come down. Why should the work cease while I leave it and go down to you? But they sent the message 4 times and I answered to them in the same manner. You know, sometimes people are just persistent. What if they ask you 4 times? What if they ask you 40 times? Are you eventually going to give in? There's times when we just have to stick with what God has given us to do and not allow ourselves to be distracted from it. You're going to have to say no to some things to complete the mission, the work that God has given you. Sometimes, when you're fulfilling the purpose of God, the devil will send all kinds of distractions. The scripture says sometimes he comes as an angel of light. It may sound good, it may look good, it may feel good, but you have to keep on with the work that God has given you and say no to the distractions. You got to say no to the lesser good sometimes so you can say yes to the greater good. You got to say no to the wrong job so you get the right job. You got to say no to the wrong guy so you get the right guy. You got to say no to the wrong opportunity so you get the right opportunity. And I don't want anybody to misunderstand what I'm talking about, because whatever God has put before you and given you to do in order to serve, that's what you need to do. See, some people get the attitude of, well, I'm called to this great thing, so I'm not going to do anything else. Well, let me tell you how you get to the great thing: being willing to do the little things that God gives you to do. Because the one that's faithful in little is going to be given, going to be entrusted with much. And so I want you to understand that when I say you turn down the opportunity to get to the better opportunity, I'm not talking about that you're not willing to serve. I'm talking about that sometimes you got to realize that there are distractions. Sometimes you got to focus on what God has put in your heart. I remember when I was about 20 years old, the church I attended had a large singles ministry, and they were going to elect a new leader of the singles ministry, and some of them approached me. They said, we want to nominate you. And I was young and dumb, and I didn't even hardly even know the Bible. And I told these people, I said, I don't feel right about that. And they said, well, just let us put your name on the ballot, you know, and if it's God, it'll be, you know. But if it's not God, it won't happen. I was like, young and dumb. I said, okay. They elected me. It felt so wrong. I had no vision, no call to that. And I just told them, I said, I don't feel called to this. I don't have any vision for it. I don't have a clue. And so I turned it down. 2 months later, I went to Bible college. Came home a year later. Started youth pastor and been in ministry ever since. But I knew that was a distraction from what God had put in my heart. And sometimes you just got to be willing to say no to people. Even when it looks like an opportunity, even when it sounds good, sometimes you got to be willing to say no. And sometimes you have to tell yourself no. Oh, this is maybe the hardest one. Jesus says it this way in Luke 9:23, if anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me. You want to go after Jesus? You want to say yes to Jesus? Here's how he starts it. Deny yourself. There's going to be times when you have to tell yourself no. Following Jesus isn't just about what all you want. No, it's about what he wants. And so there's times when you have to deny yourself. You got to tell yourself no. There's going to be desires. There's going to be maybe your own plans that you need to lay aside so that you can take up the cross, the plan and purpose of God in your life. You see, to say yes to the cross, you got to deny yourself. You got to say no to yourself sometime. It can't just be what you want. It's got to be what he wants. Right now, we as a church are in a season of prayer and fasting. And I know fasting is kind of strange to a lot of people. But I want you to understand that in fasting, we're not trying to manipulate God. We're not trying to twist God's arm and get him to do what we want him to do. No, we fast as a way to say no to our flesh. And by the way, it might be a side benefit, but we don't fast as some kind of spiritual way to lose weight. I know some of you are like, well, that's what I'm hoping for, but that shouldn't be the main reason. No, we're fasting to say no to our flesh, to get this old body under subjection to our spirit. And when I say fast, you know, we always think of a food fast, some kind of food fasting, but a lot of people would do better even from an electronic fast. It's amazing how electronics can be so addictive. The TV, the phone, the internet, the Xbox, playing games online. It can take up so much of your life. So much of your attention. You go on a fast from it, at least for a while, you'll be amazed at how much time you have to say yes to God. How much more interesting you'll find the Word of God. Say yes to God. You got to say no to some other things. Some of us need to say no to busyness. We're so busy all the time. We got to have noise and action and things going on all the time. It's no wonder we have a hard time hearing God. You see, if you're going to say yes to God and hear God's voice, you're going to have to say no to some of that. You need a Sabbath. You need a time where you just get along with God. It's saying no to the appetites of the flesh so that we can say yes to our spiritual hunger. See, you're going to say yes to a spiritual hunger, you're going to have to say no to some of the appetites of the flesh. Now, last week we talked about getting back in the race and how that the Bible many times uses a race as an analogy for us going after the plan and purpose of God in our life. And the Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians 9, he's talking about how to run your race to win. And in verse 27, he says this, I discipline my body and bring it into subjection, lest when I have preached to others, I myself should be become disqualified. You see, Paul said, I'm disciplining my body. I'm saying no to my body so that I'm ready for all that God has for me. So I'm not disqualified. See, don't be disqualified because you weren't willing to say no to yourself. If your body runs your life, it'll ruin your life. You can't effectively run your race for God if your body is running your life. If we allow it, it'll be lazy, it'll be gluttonous, it'll seek only pleasure, it doesn't like work, it doesn't like to pray, and it sure doesn't like to fast. So we tell it no. You say, no, you're not going to eat that. Preacher's messing in your business this morning, isn't he? No, I'm talking to myself more than I am you, by the way. No, you're not going to eat that. No, you're not going to just lay around. No, you're not going to watch football all day. You got to tell yourself no sometimes to say yes to God. And last, we're going to close with this story. Sometimes to say yes to God, you got to say no to some other things. A rich young ruler comes to Jesus. Story's found in Mark chapter 10. He says, "What must I do to inherit eternal life?" This young man, he wants to say yes to Jesus. He wants to say yes to God. What do I have to do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus says, he starts giving him the commands. And he says, "Yeah, all these I've kept from my youth up. What do I lack?" And Jesus looked at him. The Bible tells us he looked at him and he loved him. You see, sometimes, by the way, when you love people, you don't tell them what they want to hear. You tell them what they need to hear. Jesus tells him, "One thing you lack. Go and sell what you have and give to the poor, and then come follow me." You want to follow me? You want to say yes to me? Then you got to be willing to say no to something else. And for this young man, it wasn't that he had money. It's that money had him. And the Bible says that he went away sad because he had great possessions. He wanted to say yes to God, but he was not willing to say no to something that had a hold on his life. And so I ask you this morning to say yes to God. But in the process, be willing to say no to whatever would keep you from keeping your yes. Yet let your yes be yes, and your no be no. Stand with me, we're going to pray.